Amen. Hey, real quick, before we dive into the word, I want you to know God wants to speak to you this morning. He has some things he wants you to know, some ways that he wants to encourage your life. And so sometimes when I'm getting ready to listen to God in the word, if I'm in my spot or if I'm even just sitting at a sermon, sometimes as we pray, I'll put my hands out in front of me like this as a sign of, God, I just want to receive from you right now. I want you to speak to me. So I just like, maybe if you want to hear from God this morning, won't you just put your hands out in a receiving position and let's pray and let's ask God to speak to us this morning. All right, let's pray. Father, we love you, and we thank you so much for your kindness, for your grace towards us. God, I'm really excited for this word this morning. I think that there are some really neat and encouraging and exciting things that your word wants to speak to us today. And so, God, I just pray that you would make us ready, humble, receptive, open to whatever you want to speak to us. God, where we need encouraged, would you encourage us today? God, where we need to be corrected, would you correct us today? And I pray, Father, above all things, you would help me just get out of the way and that your spirit could speak to us through your word. We love you, Father. It's in your name we pray. Amen. You know, one of my favorite things about Jesus is that Jesus did a substantial amount of his ministry and teaching at a dinner party around a dinner table. Jesus loved food. How many of you love food? You would get along with Jesus. You guys would be best friends. Jesus loved food. He knew the power of a good meal and good people and talking about the kingdom of God. And so if you look at Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you find Jesus around a dinner table a lot. And it's because I would think most of us could agree on this. We love to get together and eat. Like we do it for everything, graduation parties, weddings, engagement parties, whatever it is. We use meals for everything. We use them to celebrate. Yesterday, I went to a baby shower for Chris and Lindsay Short, and we ate. Like we had food. It was awesome. There was this like Dunkaroo, homemade Dunkaroo dip. I felt like I was six again. Like it was awesome. Just pounding that. That was so good. You use meals for ministry. Hey, let me take you out to dinner. Let me take you out to lunch and hear what God is doing in your life, how he's speaking to you. You use meals to make decisions. You have, hey, let's do that business deal over dinner. Let's meet and talk about that and make that decision over lunch. And really, we just want an excuse to eat, right? Like that's all we're really after. You use meals to get to know people. You went out on dates, or you invited your daughter's boyfriend over for dinner so that you could grill him with questions and you could get to know him over dinner. That's what the purpose of a meal is so people can gather and share life with one another. I thought about it this week. I could almost go through all of my friends, and I could tell you all of my friends based upon where I eat with them. Like, I bet you could do that too. You probably have specific places you like to go with specific people. Like, my wife and I, we like Dewey's Pizza. That's where we go a lot together. We'll like share, it's one of the only places we'll share food. We don't share food very often in the Garmany house. We're both very greedy eaters. We'll go there, we'll get a peppercorn bacon ranch salad, we'll split that, and then we'll both get a calzone. I will eat all of my calzone. Hannah eats half of hers, and she saves it, and then I eat the other half the next day. That's kind of how it works. We like the hibachi grill. We do that. We'll go and we'll watch the chef cook our food. One of my favorite things at the hibachi grill is to try to get the chef to do the like trick where he tosses the food and to try to get Hannah to catch it in her mouth, because she's very cute, but she's not very coordinated. So like, watching, it's always really fun to watch her try to do it. When we go out with Wes and Kelly, we like to go to this place called Thai Nine up in Dayton. It's a Thai restaurant. You can get your Thai dish, and then you can order the spice level from 0 to 9. And I like to kind of like try to be the manliest one there and get the hottest level that I can. And normally it backfires on me later, but I enjoy the meal in the moment. Yeah. We also like to get sushi with Wes and Kelly. That's a good time. My friend Vicky Bowman, she eats at this place called El Caporal. If you've ever had lunch with Vicky, there's a 9 out of 10 chance that you ate at El Caporal with Vicky. It's a Mexican restaurant. She does all their taxes. And when you walk in, she's so well known, you go, I'm here to eat with Vicky. And they escort you to her booth. And she's got a meal that you can actually order there called the Vicky Fajitas. They keep it in the computer. It's not on the menu, but if you ask for the Vicky Fajitas, they'll bring bring you out a plate, and it's got the fajita mix on it, no rice, no beans, but it's got a little salad, and they pour queso over it just for Vicky. So I go in there, ask for the Vicky fajitas, and they know exactly what you want. And you probably do that with all kinds of people. We love to do this. One of my favorite things to do is our staff will do a Christmas party out at Tammy and John Call's house. We do our Christmas party in January because December is not like the best time for us to get together. Too much is going on. And so we go out in January, and Tammy is just an excellent host. I mean, if she has one great spiritual gift, she has many, but one of her best is that she's just an incredible, hospitable host. She does a great job. And plus, she's got a brand new kitchen, so she likes to kind of be Rachel Ray, and John tells us jokes, and it's just a really good time. We have a blast. We like to tell jokes about each other as a staff, and it's one of our favorite nights of the year where we gather together, and it's just fun. We love to get together with our favorite food and with our favorite people and talk about the kingdom of God. And what I want you to know this morning is that Jesus was well aware of the power of the table. He was well aware of the power of good food, good people, and talking about the kingdom of God. And so what Jesus would do is he would use this table to do incredible ministry. And here's why. Because all throughout the Bible, it tells us that God is planning a very big party. And when Jesus came and when he walked this earth, he was handing out invitations to that party. Do you want to come be a part of this table? Do you want to come to my feast? Do you want to come to this banquet? Because what I'm inviting you to is a celebration beyond all celebrations. We see a glimpse of it in the book of Isaiah. Isaiah 25 says this, we'll get to that in a second, Trish, thank you. On this mountain, the Lord Almighty will prepare a feast of rich food for all peoples. It's a banquet of aged wine, the best of meats and the finest of wines. On this mountain, he will destroy the shroud that enfolds all people, the sheet that covers over all nations. He will swallow up death forever. So if you don't hear anything else this morning, if you only take away one point, this is the point that I want you to hear this morning. The kingdom of God is a party, and God is saving you a seat. The kingdom of God is a party, and God is saving you a seat. Jesus has come, and he's saying, I've got a party planned to celebrate transformation, to celebrate grace, to celebrate peace, victory, and the power of the kingdom of God. And I'm inviting you, no matter where you are today, to come to my party, and I'm saving you a seat. I love going to banquet parties. Like, I really like weddings, especially when it's a couple of young people from our church. This Friday, Rachel and Jeremy are getting married, and I get to the honor of performing that wedding, and I'm really looking forward to it. I love weddings at our church because it's like my favorite people all gathered in one room, and we eat good food, and the church moms dance, and it's just a blast to watch. Like, you just sit there, you're like, these are the holiest people I know, and they are just cutting a rug, and it's really, really a fun time. And I just love it. I love it. I really like the anticipation that comes with a wedding. I met with Jeremy and Rachel this week, and you could just see, like, it's starting to get real in their mind. Like, they've been planning, they've been getting ready, the anticipation's there, the joy is there, and they can't wait for Friday. They're very excited. And what I want you to know is God has been planning this party for a long time, and there is anticipation in the heart of God to party with you, to invite you into his presence, for you to celebrate with him, for you to know him. It brings him great joy, the thought of you gathering in his presence. Now, if you're like me, when you go to a party, I have two questions when I go to a party. The first question is, who are they gonna sit me by? Does anybody else do that? When you go to a party, does anybody else get social anxiety when you walk into a room like, oh my gosh, where am I gonna be seating? Like, when I walk into a room, I scan the room and I wanna know, who am I sitting by? And like, that's the first thing I try to decide. Have you ever been at the table at the wedding where it's like clear that you're at the table of people they didn't know what to do with? Have you ever been to that table before? Where it's like crazy Aunt Sally, some distant cousin they don't talk to, the preacher and like the DJ's kid, and you're like, whose idea was this? But you gotta sit there and try to make conversation with those people. Like, so what do you do? Oh, you're a DJ's kid, cool. Like, it's a really hard table to be at. I've sat at those tables quite a bit. And so I've got a little anxiety. I wanna know who I'm gonna be sitting by. Friend, when you come to this party, the scripture says there are people from every tribe, every nation, every tongue gathered around the table. I mean, it's gonna be the most beautiful collection of people you've ever been around. I've got to experience this a couple times when I go on mission trips and you worship with people from other countries, and you're in this diverse, beautiful setting, and people are singing in different languages, and the kingdom of God is going to be very much like that. A beautiful melting pot of all kinds of different people. But here's the best part. You get to sit next to the guest of honor. You know, when you go to a wedding, they put the bridal party up on a table in front of the whole group and everybody watches them eat. You get a seat at that table. You get to sit next to the King of Kings. You get to converse with the omniscient one of the universe. You get to actually sit in Jesus's presence and know him. It is an incredible truth that I don't think we spend enough time with. He's actually inviting you to dine with him, to sit at his right and to know him. What an honor, what a privilege that we've been gifted. So when I go to a party, I want to know, who am I sitting by? The other question I want to know is, like, what am I going to eat? Don't you care? Like, I know it's true that you judge parties based upon how good the food is, or at least I do. Like, I walk away from a party going, that's about a 6 out of 10. If it's good food, I'm all about it. If it's not good food, I don't want to come back. And so what's going to be served at this party? And what I want you to know is Jesus says it's going to be some good food. He says it's the choicest meats. Throw that scripture back up there for us, Trish, from Isaiah. I love this scripture. He says, I've got rich food for all people. I got some killer brownies up here from Dorothy Lane. These are good. Does anybody like killer brownies? They're so, I love this stuff. Oh, good. I want to share it with you, so I'll bring it down to you. I'll give you some. I'll get you one of those, Cinda. That's good. Yeah, take one. Oh, there's macaroons there, too.
Wow.
Yeah, they're gluten-free. Yeah, that's how good they just stick. They're really good. Yeah, get your hand in there. Take one. Mm-hmm. You want one, Mary? No, really? I know you do. This is a party right here. It's kingdom party. Ben? Yeah, hit you up, yeah. The whole group's over here like, is he just going to stay over here with us? Yeah. I love it. He says it's rich food. That word could be translated like food full of marrow. Come on, Derek. I know. Take two.
There's a lot of people here.
You're lying. Take two. That's raspberry chocolate right there. That's good. Listen. He says rich food. He says it could be translated like food full of marrow. Take some of that, Joey.
Yep.
Oh, it's not keto? Come on. Drew? Yeah, right here. I was telling Kara I was going to do this yesterday, so I got to get to Kara real fast. She said, please make sure I get a brownie. Dusty wants a macaroon. Yeah.
Oh, sweet.
He says it's rich food. I've tried to say this 3 times. That word means food full of marrow. In other words, like really fatty food. The kind of food that's like, you know, I shouldn't be eating this, but it tastes so good. And that's what's fun about a wedding is don't you just eat and go, well, I'm at a wedding. Like, you know, I'll diet tomorrow. Today I'm at a wedding. And Jesus is going, this is going to be a party. David, take that right there. I know you're looking at it. Yeah, you could pass it around for me. It's going to be good food. And I love this scripture. There's a quote from John Piper that I read this week. I meant to put it on the screen for you, but I don't have it. He says this. He says, what's really happening at the banquet, it's not really about this food that you're going to eat. It's about the person that you're going to get to experience. He says, to know Jesus and to experience him and sit in his presence, this is the soul's final feast. In other words, the very thing you were made for, the very thing God wants your heart to be full of so that you can be satisfied and have everything that you need in this life is going to be sitting at the table with you. And what will make the banquet so much sweeter is the person that you're sharing the meal with. And friend, he's invited you into something very, very, very special. It's a party in his presence. It's to know him, to be known by him, to be loved by him. And if you haven't experienced that today, this is my hope for you, that you'd come into the party. I want you to listen this morning because we all know what it's like to be excluded. We all know what it's like to kind of feel that pain of rejection or to sit on the outside of a party that we really wish we could get into. And Jesus is saying, this party is open invitation. I want you to come inside. I want you to experience this spread that I've laid out before you. I want you to know what I've come to offer you. And so when we get to the Gospel of Mark this morning, you're going to see Jesus handing out invitations to this party. And you're going to see that the invitations kind of shock the people that receive them. Let's look at this scripture together. This is Mark 2. It says, once again, Jesus went out beside the lake. A large crowd came to him, and he began to teach them. As he walked along, he saw Levi, the son of Alphaeus, and he was sitting at the tax collector's booth, and he gives him an invitation. He says, come, follow me. And Jesus told him, and Levi got up and followed him. So the next verse. While Jesus was having dinner at Levi's house, many tax collectors and sinners were eating with him. They're having a party. For there were many who followed him. When the teachers of the law, who were Pharisees, saw him eating with the sinners and the tax collectors, they asked his disciples, why does he eat with tax collectors and sinners? On hearing this, I love Jesus, he says to them, it's not the healthy who need a doctor, but it's the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but I've come to call sinners. All right, let's break this down. There's a few really good observations in this passage. The first one is this. The guest list to Jesus's party is scandalously shocking. I mean, this is a scandal of a party. The religious leaders expected that when Jesus came and he handed out invitations, the invitations would go to the most holy, the most clean, the most righteous people. But who does Jesus invite to his party? A tax collector. Now, calling fishermen like James and John was one thing, but calling a tax collector, associating with the tax collector, was utterly unheard of in Jesus' day. There were three types of taxes in the Roman world. One was called the land tax. So you would pay 10% of your harvested goods to the city of Rome one time a year. Then there was also a head tax. It was like a census. Every head in your house would have to pay a day's wage to the city of Rome one time a year. And then there was a customs tax. This is like our duty tax, or the tax that you pay at stores. And these were enforced by tax collectors. Now, here's why this was so treacherous. A group of Jewish men would bid on the right to tax other Jews. So it'd be like if you and 10 of your Jewish friends decided, we're going to pay Rome $1 million, and then we have the right now to go tax other Jews. And this is how Rome secured their tax money. Instead of collecting it themselves, they bid it out to a group of people. They got their money, and those men went and taxed everybody else. Here's the problem. There was very little government. And so these men became very corrupt very fast. They were extortionists. They were violent. They would threaten people. They would threaten to hurt your family if you didn't pay. The rules would change all the time. You'd come across a toll booth with your fish load for the day, and they'd go, looks like you got about $1,200 of fish there, so we'll charge you $60 in taxes. Then you come the next day, and they go, looks like you got about $1,200 of fish there, so we'll go $150. And they go, but yesterday it was $60. And they go, well, too bad, big deal. And so these men were very, very hated. They were very despised. They were actually considered traitors because they sold themselves out to the Romans to tax other Jews. And so Jesus comes along and he says, Levi, I want you to follow me. Now, Levi's decision to follow Jesus, the fishermen could always go back to their fish. Once you left the tax booth, there wasn't any going back. Those jobs were taken very, very, very quickly. And so Levi's decision to follow Jesus is he's leaving everything and he's going. And then Jesus goes and he has a meal at Levi's house. The dinner table was one of the most intimate signs of friendship in the Jewish world. And it still is today. You know, the people you eat with are the people you really care about. You go to dinner with people that you love. You spend time with your family around the dinner table with your friends. When Jesus sits at the dinner table with Levi, what's being announced to the world is that God has come for broken people. That God has come for people who've made a mess of their life. That God has come for the most unlikely people. For people that you would not imagine should be invited into the party are now being invited in. And it is scandalously shocking. And here, it's good news for you and me today. Because if you feel like, man, I've just blown it. Like I do not measure up. I try and try and try again, but I don't feel like I just do a very good job. You're the perfect candidate. He wants you at the table. You see, I want you to listen today because believe it or not, there are still people in our church who believe that if you really knew them, you wouldn't love them. And I know it's true because I talk to these people. And I ask them, why don't you want to be in a small group? Why don't you, what holds you back spiritually? I just don't feel like I'm good enough. I feel like there's things I just don't want to share. And they're afraid to come into the party because they don't know if they're invited. And Jesus says, this is an open invite. you come as you are. You see, Pharisees like to say, no, you don't come as you are. You clean yourself up, you get this right, and then you're invited. But Jesus says, no, it doesn't work like that. Because here's the second observation I see in this passage. Grace flips everything upside down. You see, when the teachers of the law, who were Pharisees, saw him eating with sinners and tax collectors, they asked his disciples, why does he do that? Now, we got to give the Pharisees a little bit of grace here because they had a form of salvation. They viewed life like a ladder. If I climb the ladder, the higher I get, the more holy I am, the closer I am to earning my seat at a table. And here's why we need to give them grace, because everybody does this. Every single person that's ever been born looks for salvation outside of Jesus Christ. Now listen, they might not go, what do I got to do to be saved? Or what do I got to do to get a seat at the table? But we all have some idea of what would fulfill us, what would make us feel accomplished, what would make us feel satisfied. I would call it self-salvation. And just like regular salvation, self-salvation works the same way. All forms of salvation have a rule and they have a principle. For the Pharisees, the rule was, I got to be really, really clean in order for God to love me. And so my rules are, I'm not going to touch anything unclean. I'm going to be all as holy as I can. I'm going to try to do the best I can. And I'm going to ostracize everybody who does not measure up. But let's say your form of salvation, what you think will fulfill you is a beautiful home. Well, then your prophet will be Joanna Gaines, all right? And your rules will be only antique wood floors, only tiled walls, and distressed paint, right? And you will reject every ugly painting that your grandma wants to put in your house. Like, just get out of here. Or let's say that your form of salvation is popularity or acceptance of people. Your number one rule will be, thou shalt not be uncool. And you will reject anyone who affects your image negatively. If your rule is, your salvation is, I need to have money, I need to have financial security, then your principle, your prophet, your God will be the dollar, and your rules will be, keep all of my money for myself, don't be generous, and hoard as much as I can to protect myself. And here's Jesus's problem with all of that. It's bankrupt. It doesn't work. I mean, you can pursue and pursue and pursue fulfillment, life, acceptance, joy outside of Christ, and you won't find it. And so he says to the Pharisees, he says, you don't understand. It's not the healthy who need a doctor. It's the sick. I didn't come for righteous people. I came for sinners. And what he's not saying to the Pharisees is, you're the healthy ones. I'm going to go find the sick ones. He's saying, you don't recognize your own sickness. You're like a stubborn man who won't go to the doctor. You just think that if you keep plowing and going after these same things, you're going to find salvation. But I'm telling you, you're spinning and you're toiling and you're working for something that I'm inviting you to freely. My presence. And it flips everything upside down. Because I don't got to work anymore for it. I don't have to earn it. I don't have to reject others who keep me from it. But I accept it. And he's got a seat with my name on it. And I get to sit in it. Here's the third thing I see in this story. It says, in the story, grace flips everything upside down, and I like this. You won't enjoy the party if you don't enjoy the party guests. You see, probably the biggest problem with the Pharisees is they have a problem with who's invited. When they look at the tax collectors and sinners, it's not that they're mad that Jesus is having a party, they just don't know why they get to be there. And I thought about that this week because I think we do that a lot. They're not like me. They don't act like me. They don't think like me. Why do they get to be a part of the party? Why do they get to be there? You see, what's really easy is it's easy when we kind of get in this pharisaical attitude to start kind of playing this game in our head where we get to decide who's in and who's out. Like the conservatives are in and the liberals are out. Or we do it the opposite way too. The open-minded people are in and the judgmental people are out. And Jesus goes, hey, it doesn't work that way. I get to decide who's in and who's out. And until you recognize and embrace the fact that I came for sinners, you're always going to not enjoy the party because guess what? The party's full of sinners. The party's full of people who've blown it. The party is full of people who recognize that. I love this quote from Tim Keller, and I don't want to butcher it, so I want to pull it out of the notes here. Tim Keller wrote the book, Jesus the King, the one we're reading, and he said this. He says, the gospel does not say the good are in and the bad are out. Hear me. The gospel says the humble are in and the proud are out. The gospel says the people who know they're not better, not more open-minded, not more moral than anyone else are in, and the people who think that they're on the right side of the divide are out. Friend, hear me. If you want to enjoy the party, the first and most important step is to recognize, Jesus, I need you. I'm sinful. I need you to welcome me into the party. I don't deserve a seat at the table, but you have welcomed me in. Because when you enter with that frame of mind, all of a sudden the people around the table become beautiful to you. They're not your enemies. It's so funny to me that church could be a place where you could have enemies. That you could look across the room and see somebody that you don't think like or agree with and all of a sudden begin to enemize them and put yourself against them. Jesus says, no, my party won't be like that. You see, because here's what Jesus knows about his party guests. They're all flawed. And if they're all flawed, they should all know that everybody else is flawed. And they should know that he loves them flaws and all. And that doesn't mean that their flaws are right or that I have to even like their flaws very much. But I have to accept them and love them where they are because that's what God does. And what happens when you do that is the party becomes a very fun place. When you can start looking at people across the room and not see them where they are, but see them where God's going to take them, friend, joy floods your heart. When you look in the eyes of someone you care about and you go, man, God is changing you, and the further he takes you, your joy levels just go over the top. The party becomes a celebration because you see all these people sitting around the table are being transformed by the King. And it is a wonderful, beautiful, beautiful thing. Friend, the kingdom's a party, and God's saving you a seat. Here's what we're going to do this morning. I think it's awesome that we get to close this message out with communion. So if you're collecting the communion, if you're going to distribute that to us, you can go ahead and go to the back and get ready for that. The reason we have access to this table is because Jesus has welcomed us at the table that we're about to go to. You see, the table we're about to go to is the communion table where Jesus shared a meal with his disciples. And he passed out bread and he passed out wine. And they dined together on the night before he was killed on the cross. And he looked at his disciples and he said, every time you gather, I want you to do this to remember me. He was setting a rule for how the church party works. When you get together, remember, it's all because of the gospel. When you gather to worship, when you sing your songs, when you pray your prayers, don't forget you're here because of the gospel, lest you think you've earned your way into the party. And so what we're going to do is we're going to go to the table together. He took bread and he passed it around the table. And he said, this is my body, which is given for you. When Jesus was killed on the cross, he acted as our substitute. His body was broken in our place. He died a death that we deserve so that we could experience the grace and the presence and the access to God that he deserves. And then he passed around a cup and he said, this wine is the blood of my covenant. That word covenant is like a promise. God says, when you drink of this juice, remember my blood has sealed forever the fact that you're invited to the party, that you're welcomed in, not because of your own abilities, not because you measure up, not because you're special, not because you've earned your way in, but because I love you and I bought your ticket. I paid for you to come into the table. You know, earlier this year, I got to go to this event called Ladies Night Out. And it's one of my favorite nights of the year. It's a fun event to get to serve at. And it's basically this big banquet. They do it in downtown Middletown. In a really pretty historic building, and they deck the whole place out. I mean, it's just like a ballroom, and it's just beautiful. They got all these tables, and these lights are strung up, and it's just a beautiful room. And what I love about it is the men serve the women, so there's guys there. We took food out to the tables, bust the tables, that kind of thing. And the women gather around the table together, and they share a meal. And one of my favorite parts is it's women from every walk of life. I mean, you've got like government officials and then like homeless women and single moms and everywhere in between. But yet they're all decked out in these beautiful outfits. They're all gathering around the table, laughing and sharing their story. And I couldn't help but think, this is the kingdom of God. This is the kingdom. people from every walk of life gathering, seeing the value that God has placed upon their life and sharing a meal of love. What a wonderful thing. As we enter into this communion time, it's a pre-celebration for the big celebration. We're sharing a meal as we prepare for the big meal. This is a little taste of that heavenly party. So I'm gonna invite the ushers to come forward. They will distribute the elements while Cinda plays, and then we'll take them together after the elements are all distributed. I hope you know this morning how loved you are, how valuable you are to your Father. He's prepared a table before you. He's invited you to dine at that table. What a wonderful honor. I want you to leave today encouraged by his love for you, celebrating his goodness towards you. What do we do with this invitation? I think two things. One is embrace it. He's invited you to dine with him. Accept it. Come to the table. The table's set out before you. Stop pursuing other things, thinking they'll give you fulfillment and joy, and instead rest in Christ. It's a very simple thing. And the second is extend it. Again, this table is an open invite, which means this place should be a place of grace, freedom, joy for people to be who they are, where they are, and for us to look with believing eyes that God is transforming them into something new, even as we speak. It's a powerful thing, the grace of the gospel. And as we eat this meal together, we celebrate that truth, that he loves us and he's welcomed us in. So take the bread, the body of Jesus, and eat. Take the juice, which represents the blood of Jesus, and drink. Let's pray. Father, we love you. I'm thankful this morning that you've welcomed me in. I didn't deserve a seat at the table. I still don't deserve a seat at the table. The closer I walk with you, the more aware I am of how undeserving I am. And yet, Father, you have welcomed me in anyway. I celebrate that. I love that I get to feast in your presence. I get to feast on your presence, to drink in your mercy, to consume the joy and the peace that you've offered to me, to experience your loving kindness, to converse with you and learn your wisdom. Father, that is a gift like no other. Thank you for this great invitation. And I pray, Father, for those in this room who might doubt whether or not they're worthy, Father, that they would simply come as they are, come to the table, embrace the gift that you've come to give them. I pray for those in this room who struggle with those tendencies of the Pharisees who see others and wonder if they're worthy at the table. I pray first, God, that grace would wash over them and they would extend freely the grace that you've given to them. Father, we love you and we thank you for this beautiful table. It's in your name we pray. Amen. You may be dismissed.